a lot about Yale SOM's executive MBA program, and a little about one-year MBAs. Hello, and welcome to the 190th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that wonderful moment when you can high-five the person next to you and say, "Yes, I'm in." Now, before we turn to our regular scheduled content, in other words, learning more about Yale SOM's EMBA program, I want to respond to a question asked of me on Twitter by, I'm going to have a hard time with the name, at AgarwalGaurav04. He asked me if we can do a show on U.S. one-year MBA programs. We might in the future, and while today's show is not devoted to that topic, you can get a lot of information from the podcast with Columbia Business School's Emily French. That's episode 171, which is at accepted.com/171. And also, I realize that INSEAD is not a U.S. business school. It's the business school for the world. But the interview that we had with Virginie Fugia, INSEAD's admissions director, also provides a lot of insight into what that top international one-year program is looking for. Now, in terms of information from me on one-year MBA programs, one of the key differences between a one-year and a two-year program is lack of internship. So most one-year programs want to admit students who A, don't need an internship, and B, have crystal clear goals so that they can hit the job search trail running without any hesitation or delay when they arrive on campus. There is absolutely zero time for soul searching if you're in a one-year program. So who would be the ideal candidate? Applicants who are returning to a previous employer are particularly appealing to one-year programs, but you don't need to have a job offer in hand to apply or get accepted to a one-year program. You just have to have really realistic, concrete goals, achievable goals. If you want to change function and industry after you earn your MBA, you might be wiser if you attempt to do one shift with your first post-MBA job and the other in a second post-MBA position. In a nutshell, if you prefer a one-year program, keep your goals realistic and achievable. Also, make sure you meet the school's criteria for the one-year program, because it may differ from the two-year program, and the one-year programs will differ from each other. So, for example, Kellogg admits applicants to its one-year program who have at least a strong academic foundation in business, if not an undergraduate business degree. Cornell Johnson, in contrast, wants applicants with advanced degrees or certifications for its accelerated program and lists all that satisfy its requirements. But Cornell Johnson doesn't insist that those certifications or background be in business. Know what the programs require before you apply and make sure you can give them what they're looking for. In a nutshell, here's what you need to remember if you're interested in a one-year program. Keep your goals realistic and achievable. There's no time for soul searching or an internship with a one-year program. And two, know what the programs require before you apply and make sure you give it to them. Now, that can be true of two-year programs too, but I think it's even more important with a one-year program. And thanks, Gaurav, for the question. Now, we're going to look at a different kind of non-two-year MBA program, non-traditional MBA program, and that's the executive MBA. I thought it would be great to learn about one of the newer executive MBA programs, specifically Yale School of Management's EMBA. Yale SOM's executive MBA program will graduate its 10th class this year. However, for most of its existence, it was exclusively a healthcare-focused EMBA program. That changed a couple of years ago, and today it provides a general management EMBA education with three areas of focus for its students. We'll learn more about those later. For now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce today's guest, Vani Nadarajah, Director of Admissions, Executive MBA and Global Programs at Yale School of Management. Vani, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you for having me, Linda.
Pleasure. Now, can you provide an overview of the Yale SOM EMBA program? What is distinctive about it?
The program is it's a full MBA. So here at the Yale School of Management, we have one MBA that we one degree that we deliver to our MBA students. But we have two formats. We have our full-time MBA format and we have our executive format. So first and foremost, it's a 22-month program that delivers the same degree to our executive MBA students that our full-time MBA students earn. And actually, they graduate on the same day remarkably with the rest of Yale University. So we have a big commencement day here in May once a year. And our executive MBAs are there alongside the full-time students gaining the first degree. So it's very rigorous. It's a full-blown MBA program. The program, as you've mentioned, already also has three areas of focus. So the program kind of breakdown is 75% general management. So our students spend the first year taking the Yale Integrated MBA core curriculum. And in the second year, they will divide their time between advanced management courses, which are general management courses, and area of focus courses. So that's where the class divides into three. And they'll go take advanced management courses in the context of asset management, healthcare, or sustainability.
Okay. Now, when you hear executive MBA, many executive MBA programs are for slightly more experienced professionals seeking an MBA. Is that true of Yale's program, or is it basically a similar age group as the full-time MBA program just offered in a part-time format?
They're older and more experienced at Yale School of Management. So if you look at our full-time MBA program, on average, 5 or 6 years of experience. Mm-hmm. For the executive MBA, we're 12 at the moment. That's our class of 2018. And then age-wise, whereas full-time MBA students tend to be about 28 or 29, mm-hmm. The executive MBA students on average are 36 or 37.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, more experienced.
And are they using it primarily to move up in their career, let's say mid-managers to senior managers, or are they using it in general for more significant kinds of job changes, change industry, change function, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, I'd say it's a fair summary, I think, to say mid-manager to senior manager. So they're, you know, they've built some great careers, they've demonstrated career evolution, they've grown, they've evolved, and they're ready to step up and do more. What we tend to see is the jobs are shifting from more of an operational execution type of role to a more strategic role within the organization.
Okay, great. Now, one of the distinctive aspects of Yale School of Management in general, and also the EMBA program, is you mentioned the integrated curriculum. What does that practically, concretely mean to students in the program, in the classroom?
I'm glad you asked it, actually, because that's my favorite element, I think, of the program. It's phenomenal. So when you've looked at different business schools, you've looked at different MBA curricula, the Yale curriculum it's advanced in the next stage. So whereas you look at a traditional MBA curriculum, and they're taught very much according to functions.
Right.
So you learn chunks of marketing and accounting and finance. And for the Yale core curriculum, the faculty have gone beyond that, and they've structured their curriculum according to stakeholder perspectives. And that's, I think that's probably because many of our students and our graduates were going out and starting companies. And this is across the Yale School of Management. They're starting companies, or they're working in government, or they're working in nonprofits, they're working in international organizations or private equity institutions, you know, lots of small and medium enterprise companies, B Corps, as well as huge multinationals. And in order to really deliver a curriculum that was more relevant to these graduates, the faculty really thought about, you know, how could we do that? How could we, instead of teaching function, how could we teach an MBA curriculum that was maybe more relevant to these graduates? And they came up with stakeholder perspectives. So, for example, instead of teaching chunks of marketing and then commercial strategy, they combined a lot of content in the MBA curriculum, and they came up with courses like customer. So instead of teaching an organization or teaching a student who works in an organization how to market out to a customer, how about we teach them who that customer is, and then they take it from there. And so we have courses customer, we have courses called competitor, and it really focuses on who that stakeholder is and how they see the world. And so you could be working in a huge multinational organization, or you could be working in a startup with 5 people, but you probably all have customers, and you probably all have competitors. You have investors. Innovator is probably my favorite course. It's really about how do you ensure and you foster an environment where that innovator in your organization can thrive. Sourcing and managing funds is a great course. It's a great example because what Yale does there is it combines, it's the CFO's view of the world. So it combines a finance professor with an accounting professor, and they teach alongside each other, but you're focusing on that CFO stakeholder. And so I'm not sure if that explains it completely, but that's the shift in the Yale core curriculum, the integrated curriculum, is that we teach the curriculum according to stakeholder perspectives rather than functions. Our students can really, if they start to get an elevated perspective of an organization, they start to move up and get a more strategic view of an organization, they can really think about how those stakeholder perspectives fit together.
It's fascinating. It's a very different approach. How does the comments on the Yale EMBA website, one of the claims, is that the integrated curriculum enables students to approach problems from multiple perspectives. Are they, yeah. Can you give an example of that?
Yeah, so this is all based on, so at the end of the core curriculum, they've taken these 9 different stakeholder perspective courses, and then there's a kind of capstone, there's a wrap-up course called the executive. And the executive is a series of big leadership cases. So, for example, one of our alumni is Indra Nui with Pepsi. Mm-hmm. And so there's a case, actually, that we use featuring her where it was a time where New York was trying to legislate the size of soda containers.
Yeah.
And so that had a direct impact on, if you're Indra Nui, that's having a direct impact on your industry. And so the students were asked to then strategize and come up with strategies from different perspectives. But we had faculty in the room who represented different stakeholder perspectives. And so, they would, for example, present a strategy based on working with competitors. So if I were Ingenui, I would work with maybe Coke and some of the other competitors in my competitive landscape to fight this and to lobby against it. And that was great, but then, how would you then encompass, how would you affect your investors? How would you affect your customers by doing that? How would it affect your relationship with state and society? And so they have, in this executive course, they are really forced to pull everything together that they've learned and then anticipate how the effects are on the different stakeholders in their organization if they make strategy decisions. And they make decisions. And so that's, I'm not sure if I'm explaining it.
Well, it seems to me,
but they have to ascertain the impact they make on other stakeholders if they make decisions as a leader of an organization.
What I was going to say was that it seems to me like it is putting them in the position of an executive, because the executives have to consider the different perspectives of the different stakeholders and weigh them against each other.
It's great to watch. Could you imagine these different faculty were in the room? And they're like, yeah, that's a great investor strategy. Your investors are on board, but your employees are now very unhappy. you've done something very sexy as an investor for the investment community, but now you've really alienated your most important employees, and you're ruining your culture of your organization. So they do 6 of these big cases. It's a 6-class course, really exploring and being, pushed by different faculty representing these stakeholder perspectives, to really understand the implications of every decision they make, and then, really harmonize their decisions to incorporate stakeholders in the best possible way. So that's why we call it the integrated core curriculum.
Got it. Thank you. Now, another distinctive, if not unique, element of Yale SOM is the global network. First, can you tell us what that global network is, and then how does it work in the executive MBA context?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this is a phenomenal network of 28 top-tier business schools around the world. So in the U.S., Berkeley, Haas, and Yale School of Management are the 2 U.S.-based schools, and the rest are based throughout the rest of the world, so in all continents. Mm-hmm. It's not even 5 years old. It's about to turn 5 next year. And the premise was these schools came together to really collaborate and cooperate as much as possible. There were no rules. They're always, the schools and the faculty and the students are always exploring different ways that they can work together. That could be starting with exchanges. So every year there are exchanges happening where, if you can imagine, a subset of these schools will step up and they'll organize a week, and they'll, a week of programming, they'll set the content, the cases, class visits, to industrial organizations, and they will set a curriculum for the week. And the rule is that if you set a curriculum and you invite students from other network schools to come to your school during that particular week to take that content, you can send your students out to the other participating schools. Mm-hmm. And so a subset, usually across the entire MBA population at Yale School of Management, usually the weeks take place once in fall and once in the spring. And our EMBAs will participate in those overall network exchanges where we receive some students and we'll send some of our students out to the different schools as well. But now that something we've formalized for the Yale MBA is that we actually have an executive MBA network exchange. And so there's a week in June that's now baked into our calendar and our curriculum. And that's where all of our students will go. It's mandatory for them. So they'll, in this particular week, they will choose between 7 or 8 participating schools. And then they will go to those schools and we'll receive students from some of the other participating schools here at Yale.
Okay, sounds good. Very, very interesting. When I first heard about the Global Network, I didn't realize really how innovative it was. And then I think I was visiting Yale's with AGAC, and Dean Snyder addressed us, and then light bulbs went off. It was like, this is really different.
Yes, I mean, we start with exchanges, and then there are case writing sessions that happen. And so the case writers from different schools are working together. We have something called raw cases at Yale. And these are, instead of having a cooked case that is traditional, like a 20-page, you know, written paper document, these cases are based online. So they have multifaceted approaches, different tabs, different, they're quite interactive. They have video interviews and things like that. And so we've been working on some of these raw cases with other schools. So for example, we've worked with IE Business School in Spain. We've worked with Smurfit in Dublin. IGADE in Mexico to develop cases for all of the student bodies at these schools, but also with different research perspectives that are incorporated into the cases. Other things that happen in the global network are, we call them SNOCs, that was coined by our Dean Snyder. And so these are small network online courses. And so you can participate in a team of students from different network schools virtually. And so you attend webinars, and you work on projects with your virtual teammates across different global network schools, different time zones, different geographies. And those tend to be about 3 months in duration. So if you imagine you take webinars Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then you're working offline with your teammates. So that's
in other parts of the world, right? Yeah, I mean, you're all over the place.
And accessing expertise beyond Yale as well, in different countries, different schools. So Technion in Israel is a great example. It's a very innovative, startup-oriented school, and they run a super online, small network online course as well.
Wow. Okay. Now, you had mentioned earlier that the Yale MBA program is 75% general management and 25% area of focus. And the areas of focus are healthcare, asset management, and sustainability. If I'm, let's say, a product manager, and I want to move up to brand management or perhaps chief marketing officer of a tech company or consumer goods company, but in a field that isn't so obviously related to any of the three areas of concentration offered by Yale SOM, should I look elsewhere?
What industry are you working in?
Tech, high tech.
Or
consumer goods, yeah. I'm making this up, obviously, but I mean, the asset management, sustainability, and healthcare aren't obviously consumer goods or high tech. Again, would there be something for me at Yale SOM, or am I again better off looking at other MBA programs?
So we have two industry areas of focus, so that's asset management and healthcare.
Right.
And so those two, they're pretty big industries, especially healthcare is very vast. And we take students from healthcare across the value chain. So you may have, we have some high-tech big data guys, for example, who focus on healthcare, so they come into the healthcare track. Sustainability is our general track. So it's not for sustainability professionals as such, though we do have students there, it makes a lot of sense for them to be in that track, but it's for all organizations. So the idea is that that area of focus helps them be better CEOs, not necessarily CSOs. Mm-hmm. And so sustainability is, it's very business focused. It's the business case for sustainability. And so they start with a course called Natural Capital. Students in that track are across multiple industries. So you do have people in consumer goods, retail. You have people actually even in the investment arena who are in sustainability. You have people who are in engineering, oil and gas, mining, consulting, et cetera, et cetera.
So and, am I correct in assuming that sustainable here means more like viable long-term business concept as opposed to environmentally friendly?
Environmentally friendly is part of it. So when they take the natural capital course, the first course they take is called natural capital and the state of the world, and they just understand resource systems around the world and energy markets because that has relevance for most of them.
Sure.
When they're thinking about the future of their organization. But it is about, as our faculty director, Paul Namaste, says for sustainability, he says it's not, we're in a time now where it's not about what you can't do, but it's about what you can do. So this is a time of innovation. This is a time of mitigating risks, thinking about the future, thinking about water and other resource systems, energy, how tech is shifting everything, and how organizations can innovate and take advantage of that. So we have the impetus to innovate. So let's do it. Let's shape up our business models and let's move forward into the future and let's be more attractive for investors, for customers, for shareholders, and for employees as well. So, you know, when you look at future talent profiles and how students are millennials, for example, will be making decisions about where they want to work and what they want to do. This is incredibly relevant for them, societal, responsible organization. But sustainability is really about the business case for sustainability. So after natural capital, the courses will then start with metrics. How do you measure sustainability? Mm-hmm. What about operations? How do you clean up your supply chain? How do you have a more risk-free, innovative supply chain, more agile supply chain? When you're doing a lot of good stuff in a green arena and you're innovating, you're a cleaner, more efficient, leaner organization, how do you then market that to potential customers? How can you really, commercialize that? How do you report to stakeholders on that? How do you convince your CFO to invest in some of these initiatives? It's really an extraordinary curriculum, and we feel that it's beneficial for all industries. And it will give our graduates in that track an edge as they graduate from the program because they have this kind of view of the future and they know where they need to be taking their organizations. And we tend to find, when we work with candidates and they're talking to their employees about this program, they come back with a lot of positive feedback because the organizations are very supportive of them bringing these skills back to their organizations as well.
Fascinating. We touched on this at the beginning of the call, and I'd like to go back to it. If someone, let's say a mid-manager, wants to not just move up in his or her area, let's say she wants to change industry or change function, can the Yale MBA facilitate that? Is it set up to fit? I mean, do they have access to career services, as do the full-time MBAs, or is it not so geared towards that?
I would say it's more about career acceleration rather than a big career shift.
Okay.
So I think changing of functions happens a lot our graduates move up through the organization. Mm-hmm. Particularly in the asset management track, many move from sell side to buy side, for example, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that given its rigor and given that they have so much to get through in 22 months, on a very, very rigorous schedule every second weekend here in New Haven. We don't have time for internships. Career program is very much about network, executive presence, executive networking skills, how they can possibly be the best they can be on the executive careers market. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't feel that we have the time in the program or the programming to help them build relationships with a whole new industry and make a career shift. I think the full-time MBA is really set up to do that. Because here at Yale, the full-time MBA students are in class Monday to Thursday, and then Friday is their day to build relationships with employers, to network, to set up great internships, and to prepare themselves for those of them that are shifting industries, really build those relationships and help to make that move into a new industry. But the executive MBA is not set up to do that here. It's very rigorous, and it's about acceleration. And especially when you have students, for example, in a healthcare track, they're passionate about their industry. Oh, they're here because they want to lead change in healthcare. Or in asset management, they really are passionate about being more creative and, having real integrity to manage other people's money and plug some of these pension fund gaps and, foster and support foundations when it comes to education, again, healthcare. And so they're incredibly passionate, and they're really about stepping up and leading and doing more to impact those industries, to their clients and their shareholders.
Do people ever take the Yale MBA with the hope of starting their own business?
Yes. and when you have, so we have a very diverse class mix. So across asset management, healthcare, and sustainability, you have very different profiles.
Oh, yeah.
You have veterans who flew helicopters in crazy war zones alongside neurosurgeons sitting next to a mining operative, and on, sitting next to a nurse who sits next to a retail executive. And so it goes on and on. And they come here because they're drawn to the mission of the Yale School of Management, which is to educate youth for business and society. They want to make sure, they want to be successful, creative, innovative leaders, but they also want to make sure that they're making an impact to society through the work they do. So that already creates and it fosters this great community, but they're also fascinated by each other because, if we've done our jobs correctly, Linda, we've brought in people who really do know their industries, they've grown and evolved within them, and they're here to take the next step. But we expect them to be the experts in the room when it comes to those organizations and industries. But they equally want to learn as much from each other as they do from their faculty. They want to know how things are done in different industries. What's hot in different industries? What's working? What are some of the new initiatives that are taking place in these industries? Potential new clients. How can we work together in the future? But when they're in that kind of very creative kind of crucible of ideas, and they're being led in amazing discussions by our faculty, imagination runs wild, and they're scribbling on the back of napkins, at dinner, on a class weekend, they're coming up with business ideas and concepts, and lots of our students want, I think one day, they will set up their own companies, or they already start to do it as they start to hit graduation. And it's very interesting because when I see potential companies forming, so a potential startup,
can you give an example?
An idea phase. I don't know if I can talk about some of these ideas.
Okay.
I don't know where they are.
I mean, like say a graduate, maybe? Something that's already public?
Yeah, so there were a couple of guys who, they're working on an investment fund, for example.
Uh-huh.
And so you see an asset manager guy because he's the money guy, and he's there. And then you have a sustainability person because he's the operations person.
Yeah.
And then you have a healthcare person because she's the client side, she's the product. And they're coming together across these three areas of focus. And I see it over and over again. It's so interesting to see how these three areas of focus align together, and they're forming these stunning business plans because they each bring something very unique to the table. And so when you come into, I think for most good executive MBA programs, when you first come into a program, you're just going to have your mind blown by your classmates and the work that they're doing, and you're going to have so much insight into new worlds that you can't help but start designing business plans and wanting to maybe get into that in the future. And I see it happening a lot. I mean, it takes a while though. I think first they want to graduate, they really want to step up and do more and make an impact. And then I think the business, starting their own business will come later. But it has happened.
Yes. Okay. It sounds wonderful. Now, do you see the Yale Executive MBA increasing the number of focus areas in the future, or do you know?
I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure right now. I think it's something on the back burner for now. But at the moment, I think we're enjoying these adding sustainability and asset management so much to the healthcare track. Uh-huh. And just seeing the synergies between the three. And something that we do is we never get entrenched in a curriculum. And
sure.
So already we're making changes and we're tweaking and we're improving the asset management track and same with sustainability. You know, our new faculty are coming in and they're able to add something, add value to the curricula. We're listening to our students who are saying, this is great, but can we have more of this? Or is there a way that we could get this kind of expertise into the curriculum? And so at the moment, I think we're just consolidating what we have, and we're really ensuring that it's the best it can possibly be. And then maybe after that, we may revisit adding another one.
Right. How much mixing takes place between the full-time MBAs at Yale SOM and the executive MBAs, if any?
I mean, a lot of it happens after they graduate, so in the alumni chapters. Both across Yale and the Yale School of Management. But here during the program, it's hard because, like I said, the full-time students are here on campus Monday to Thursday, and our students are here Friday and Saturday. And so it's hard to have a lot of mixing per se, but some of my more local students will take electives maybe on a Thursday, Thursday afternoon, and that's where they'll join with full-time students, both from the MBA program and from other graduate schools across Yale. And then conferences, so if we have a big conference and there's a great speaker, they'll mingle with the full-time MBA students as well. The students themselves will form committees, so there's a social committee usually, and they will work with the social committee members of the full-time MBA students. To network and hold happy hours together as well. And then, you know, there's a graduate bar on campus too where some of our students will go on a Friday night and then they'll meet other graduate students across Yale too.
Sure. Okay, so it's more of the informal kind of mixing. Let's turn the application for a second, okay? What makes an application to the Yale Executive MBA program jump off the page, and I mean in a positive way?
I think, you know, when somebody's just had an amazing career, maybe that's my own bias, but, you know, I'm just so blown away by how people have navigated careers, and knowing that each individual candidate has a story, and getting, you know, really getting to the bottom of that story is what really blows us away, I think, when they've just had a phenomenal career to date, and now is the time that they've decided to study this MBA.
Yeah.
Other things that really jump out, I think, strong academics. When people have worked in different countries, that's very interesting as well. You know, what has taken them there? What have they done? Or they may have studied abroad. Sometimes people will put their interest in activities, and sometimes those can be very surprising as well. But in terms of an application, I'd say career evolution is a very important part of that for us. We're really in the business of accelerating these students. We want to know that they have the potential and that we can really make an impact to them. And then I think another thing that's very important to us is just an affinity for our mission as well. So if you can see a real passion in a candidate's application and you can really see alignment with our community and our culture here at the Yale School of Management, that really stands out to us, to the admissions committee as well. A real authenticity in that alignment and that passion.
All right, thank you. Wonderful answer. What are some mistakes that applicants make in their applications to Yale's MBA program? What makes them, we talked about apps that jump off the page. What about some apps that sink to the floor?
Yeah, I was just about to say the copy and paste kind of essays.
Yeah.
That's very disappointing. You know, you can, I can see why at a more junior level, why some candidates, you know, if you're applying to multiple institutions, but at the executive MBA level, you're generally not. You may be applying to two or three schools. And one thing, if you visited the schools, one thing you probably noticed is that we're very distinct in terms of our community, our culture that I mentioned before.
Your approach. Yeah. Is
exactly. We care very much about our curricula and the way that we set up our program, and we keep tweaking it, and we keep adding to it and improving it. And if there's nothing in that that resonates with you, we're just another copy and paste essay to you, then that can be very disappointing, I think, for us.
Okay. Very good perspective. What do you see coming down the pike? What's in your crystal ball for, what do you see in your crystal ball for the Yale MBA program?
Well, one thing that we're working on right now is using more technology in our classroom. And so we have a building here at the Yale School of Management. I think you must have seen it, Linda, when you visited Evans Hall.
Yes, it's gorgeous, Norman, magnificent.
Yeah, Norman Foster, Lord Norman Foster is an architecture graduate from Yale University. And so we were very fortunate that he worked with our school to design our first building, designed especially for the Yale School of Management. And it has some of the best technology on campus now,
yeah,
because it's such a brand new building. And in our classrooms, so you've seen our classrooms, they're kind of these big blue tubes, and they have some great video streaming capability.
Yes.
And so we're kind of experimenting with how we can just inject a bit more flexibility into our format. So this repetitive format of Friday, Saturday, every second weekend. I mean, we have students that fly from California. We have a few international students. We have a guy that comes in from San Antonio, Texas, which is really hard to fly to New Haven from. It's easier to come from Norway than it is to come from San Antonio, Texas. We have to change so many times. And so we try to inject a bit of flexibility through that by creating a very interactive, elegant, high-touch experience so that maybe every now and then, instead of flying in from California, she can live stream it. And as long as that experience is good for the professor and it's interactive and valuable for the student, and she can still learn as much as she's learning when she's sitting in a classroom, then I think that could be something that just injects a bit more flexibility into the curriculum, into the format. And so that's something we're experimenting with, and that could have implications for maybe bringing in more students from Latin America or from maybe Western Europe. I'm not sure. But that's very exciting right now.
That would have incredibly expansive implications for the program.
If you
move at least some of it online. What advice do you have for applicants to your program?
I would say we offer a service called a pre-assessment service.
That's right.
And so it's really where you can submit your resume and then you either get a call and you get some feedback from one of my team. We may have questions, but it's a really great way of ascertaining if we feel this is a good fit for you, and maybe telling your story as well to us if it's not as clear from your resume. So I'd say definitely before starting an application, touch base with us. We have designed a admissions process and a recruiting process that is very interactive, a lot of touch points, a lot of services we try and offer to our candidates. So I'd say another thing as well is to get to know us as much as you can. So we have webinars, you can come and spend time on campus with us. We have master classes that we run in different cities. And so I'd say, you know, use that to come and get to know us and spend time with us, because I've mentioned our culture and our community and our mission a lot, and it's very important to us. And if that resonates with you, then this could be a really good fit. As a program. And so I'd say spend time with us, get to know us, and if you feel that we're your people, then I think it can be very motivating as you apply to a program.
That's great advice. And definitely, if listeners are interested in this program, then you should definitely get the pre-assessment and interact with Yale SOM EMBA program. Vani, I really enjoyed chatting with you and gaining a deeper understanding of the Yale SOM Executive MBA.
Thank you so much, Linda.
You're welcome. Where can a listener learn more about the program, its options, etc.?
It's som.yale.edu/MBA.
Great. We'll definitely link to that from our show notes at exhibit.com/190, as well as to some other resources that might be relevant. Listener, thank you too for joining Vani Nadaraja and me for Mission Straight Talk's 190th episode. Gosh, that number's getting higher and higher every week. If you find the show worthwhile, please subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any future shows, be they with admissions directors, professors, current students, test prep pros, or alumni doing great things. Thanks again for coming. This is Mission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.